John 20, 24. Jesus has died on the cross. First of all, he was tried. Then he was crucified. Died on the cross. He was buried. And his disciples were very depressed and scared. They were hiding out, trying to keep from being killed, along with everybody else, you know. Now, Jesus has been raised from the dead and raised himself from the dead, basically. And he's appearing to his church. And now we have Jesus and Thomas here in 20 and verse 24. Thomas, de heis ekton diodeca ho logomenos didymus uk ein met auton hote elthein Jesus. Thomas. And Thomas, one out of the 12, the one being called twin. Look at all of that. Thomas. Thomas means twin, of course. One. Look at that word heis there. That's not a preposition there, is it? That's a numeral. Looks exactly like it, except it's got a rough breather on it. Now, in the original Greek, you don't have the rough breather and you don't have the circumflex over it either. You just have to know what it is. And Thomas, one out of the 12. What does that mean? One out of the 12. 12 apostles. All right, he's one of the 12 apostles. The one. Now, we've got a definite article there. Tohidus going to our throne. And what number, gender, in case is that ho in?
Singular.
What is it? Singular? All right, what else? What case is it in? What was that, Cindy? All right. It's masculine and nominative singular masculine. And then we have something there that is not there, but it's understood. And what is that called? Between that ho and logomenos. That's the practical substantive. Thank you, Randall. You guys could teach this class. I'm proud of you. The one being called... Now, look at that word being called there, nominative singular masculine. See the definite article describe the participle, didn't it? And a participle is what kind of a thing? What is it? It's a marriage between a verb and a noun. Because it is declined like a noun, but also it has the state of action in there. Present, participle, middle voice. The one being called twin. Didymus. Not, little adverb of negation. And then we have the word ain. What is that word ain there? Could you conjugate that for me, please, Randall? Ain. Ain. Ook ain. How do we conjugate that? All right. Cindy? All right. Young lady?
I'm just going
to
read it.
All right.
Singular, imperfect, active.
Indicative, yeah, indicative and active. Third person singular and perfect indicative active from Amy. Okay, that's the root. Now, how would we translate this? One being called twin, not. He kept on being. So this is in perfect tense. Not, he kept on being, met, that's a preposition, and that's with them. With them. With of them. Genitive, plural, masculine, third person pronoun. Hote, little adverb of time here, a little adverb of time. When he came, Jesus. Now, he wasn't with them when Jesus came and appeared to them, was he? All right, 2025. Elegon. Un auto. Hoi aloi. Mathete. Yurakamen. Ton kirion. Ho de apen. Autois. On me ido. En tais kersin auto ton tipon ton elthon kai balo ton doctilon mu ace ton tipon ton halon kai balo, mu, tain, kera, ace, tain, pluron, alton, uk, me, pistioso. Therefore, and they kept on saying, therefore, to him, the other disciples, we have seen. We have seen. I'll go back up all the way up to the verb above that now. Now, let's conjugate that verb, Sharon. Elegon.
Third person, plural, imperfect, active,
indicative. All right. Third person plural present or imperfect indicative active. And that is, he kept on saying, and what is the root of that? It tells you the root right down there. Lego. All right. And therefore they kept on saying to him, the other disciples, what does the word mathete mean there?
Habitual learners.
Habitual learners. Okay. And then eurakamen. Eurakamen. Let's conjugate that one. Pamela? All right. First person plural, perfect indicative active. And that comes from horao. And what does this mean? Horao. Remember what that means? It means to see with your mind's eye, to have a perfect vision of something. We have seen. Perfect tense is completed action, hadn't it? All right. Tone kirion. Tone kirion. Tell me what case that's in. Tone. Pamela? Tone.
Dinner?
No.
No.
How about it there, Roger?
Should I go for nominee singular masculine?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Tone kirion. If it's nominee singular masculine, it would be hos kirios. All right. Os uu o one. That's nominative singular, nominative all the way down to vocative, okay? Tone, that's accusative singular masculine. Definite article. And accusative singular masculine in the Lord there. Now you can take one word out of a verse in the Bible and you can tell what part it plays. What part does this play? Well, give me the idea of what about tone kirion here. Tone kirion means what? This is the one that's receiving the action. They're looking at him. I remember when my kids were growing up, my two boys, they get in trouble, get in fights all the time. All the time roaring and battling and fighting when they were little. You know, they looked for something. And I'd set them apart in a room and say, Daddy, come here. I go there. He's looking at me. He's looking at me. Make him quit looking at me. See, that's what it's doing here. See, they have seen. They're looking at him, all right? Ton kirion. He's looking at me. Ho de apon. All right? Ho there is what? Okay, that's a definite article. And what number, gender, and case is that one in? Okay? Nominative, singular, masculine. Definite article, okay? Then we have a weak adversative conjunction in between. Page 85 in the Analytical Lexicon, if you want to look that one up. And then he said, the one, he said. Now, the one there, the one, that is what? It's called, Brother Randall? A practical substantive. In other words, the word one there is understood. It says the, but the said. See, you have to supply something, don't you? The one, the practical supplicant. But the one, he said. All right, let's conjugate. He said, Pamela. He said, a pen. Far right.
Third, third.
Yes.
Second
aorist. Yes. All right. Third person singular, second aorist indicative active. I could even write back then. Third person singular, second indicative act. How should we say this now? What is the idea of the action here? The indicative mode tells us what? Come on, girl, boy. A statement of fact. All right. Second aorist. What kind of action?
Took a little while.
Punctiliar, but
a little more
durative. Okay. And active voice? The subject's doing the acting. Okay. We got her. Altois. All right. Altois. What about this altois? What number, gender, and case is altois? See, I've finally graduated you up to advanced reading and research students. Okay?
Is it third person plural?
It's third person plural. That's right. Third person plural pronoun. Okay? And it's dative plural masculine because it's two or four. That's dative case. Okay? Eon me. Now, these two go together. This is kind of a figure of speech here. Eon is a third class conditional particle in most places, and here it is. Why is this a third class conditional particle? How do we know that? And we have a particle of negation there. We got a double particle. Why is this a third class conditional particle? Tell me that now. Oh, you got to remember these things. How about it, Roger? Randall knows. You don't, Randall? You've gotten rusty. Okay. Look over there to the following verb. Look at the following verb, which is edo. Now, tell me why this is a third-class conditional particle, and it depends upon edo. Exactly. If it was a first-class conditional particle, it would be in the indicative mode, because the indicative is a statement of fact. What mode is this in? Huh? First-person singular, second aorist, what?
Subjunctive
active. The subjunctive mode rules the particle. All right? So we have a little third-class conditional particle. The condition is undetermined but with prospect of termination. Okay, that's what it means, a third-class conditional particle. And a particle of negation actually is basically a not. If not, okay, or unless, I may see, look at that. See that? I may see. He said, unless I may see. First person singular, second aorist, subjunctive active. In the hands, in tase keterosin. Now let's look at that one. In there. In is kind of an indicator of what case?
Locative.
Huh? Locative case. Okay. In the hands. Now what part of the hands is this? Keteron. Okay? What part of it is it? This, the hand is what part? Okay? In Greek, it's all the way from here to here. All the way from here to here. But we know historically and with archaeological facts that he was nailed through his carpal tunnel and through his wrist, probably with sharp iron nails with a washer on them to keep them from pulling out because he was going to do a lot of pulling, wasn't he? When they're on the cross, they're going to pull with those arms until they finally suffocate. In the hands of him, the genitive is singular, masculine, third person pronoun, tone, tepone, unless I see in the hands, the locative means in the hands, okay, the mark, the tepone, that's accusative singular, all right, accusative singular, definite article, accusative singular, now, the mark. We get our word in English, what? What English word comes from this? Typewriter. What does that old typewriters do? Modern ones. How many of you even have a typewriter? Anybody have a typewriter? I've got two or three of them. They strike, and that's what it means to strike and make an imprint. You strike and make an imprint. The mark of the chelone. That's nails. These were iron or brass nails. Okay? And, a little conjunction, I may throw, literally, I may throw or I may thrust, tone doctylone. We get our word index out of this. That's where the root index comes from. the finger of me, belonging to me, that's genitive singular masculine's first person pronoun there. Ace, what is this ace? What is that thing now? That's the sign of the direct object, and it is a preposition, page 119, if you want to write that alongside of that. Ace tone, T-pone, unto the place, unto the mark of the nails. See, I have a carpal tunnel operation there, and that scar is there. Jesus evidently had scars where all of these marks were. I'm sure he had scars on his back, and his face was beaten and disfigured. And that's not what makes him look ugly and why they can't understand it. That's what makes him look beautiful. Because those are our marks that he wears. The place of the nails. And I may throw or thrust hand of me, the hand of me, ace tane, into the side of him. Pleuron. What English word do we get from pleuron? Pleurisy. That's a medical term that comes from here, pleurisy. And then we have a double negative, which is not correct in English, but in Greek it's real good. Good Greek, poor English. No, adverb of negation, may, particle of negation, I shall pistuoso. Pistuoso. I shall believe. First person singular, future indicative active. What's future tense? Tell me about future tense. Something that's going to happen. All right? If I do this, then this is going to happen. I will believe. Okay? 2026. Ty? Meth? Now, while we're looking at meth there real quick, tell me what meth comes from. This is a word that has been shortened and changed for euphony. And euphony means what? Good euphone sound. Okay? Ty, meth, and what does this meth come from? What is the word that should be there if it would look, if it was alone? Meta. It comes from meta. And chi, meth, hemeros, octo, Pauline, eson, eso, hoi, matete, auto, chi, thomas, met. See there, same word again, but it's different. Now it's got a tau on the end of it instead of a theta. Met, auton, erkete, hoesus, ton, theron, kek, klais, menon. Kai, esten, ace, to, meson, kai, epain, ereni, himen. And now we have a preposition of time. Okay? And after, met, and after, relating to time, and after days, octo. What kind of words do we get from octo in English? What's that, Cindy?
Octagon.
All right, you ought to know that. Real good math teacher like that, professor. Octo. And what else?
Octogenarian.
What? Octopus? What? Octogenarian? What does that mean?
My next birthday.
Your next birthday. 80 years old, huh? All right, we also have an octagon, don't we? Octagon, which means an eight-sided barrel. Randall, do you have an octagon barrel gun?
I think I have a mountain rifle.
Oh, right. Yes, you do have an octagon barrel gun. That octagon barrel means eight-sided. Okay? And they did, a long time ago, when they were making these barrels, by the way, they would take and they would file them. They started out round, and then they would file them. And the filing of them, they would file them flat with a draw file. And they would polish each and every surface. That was a long, drawn-out affair, as you know if you've seen one of those. And why do you think that they draw filed them? Why did they do that? That's right. They lightened the gun up. They lightened the gun up. Not only that, but it cooled a little better. And then they realized that they had some of these oxygen guns, and they also fluted them. And they fluted down, put a groove in there, and what did that do? It helped it to cool also. Not only made it lighter, it helped it to cool. Like a radiator around the gun. And after days 8, octo, again, look at this word, ason now. Ason. That is third person plural, perfect, indicative, active. And this is from the to-be verb, aimi. And they kept on being. After 8 days, again, look at that word, little old adverb of time there, Pauline. Again, they kept on being esso. Esso. Esso is a little adverb of place. An adverb of place. It actually means inside, hidden, within, among, to hide. There was the old story about the ostrich, remember? When he got scared, he used to stick his head in the hole in the sand and thought he was safe and hidden. This means, esso, it means within, to hide. Among the disciples, the habitual learners of him, genitive singular masculine, third person pronoun, belonging to him. I want you to get the idea of belonging there. Genitive is the case belonging, the case of possession. The disciples belonging to them, and a conjunction here, plain conjunction, page 208. Thomas, say Thomas. Thomas. See, it's a long O. Thomas. And Thomas met. Again, this is the word meta, but it's shortened here. Preposition, page 265. With them. All right, with them. What do we have here? With them. That's instrumental, plural, masculine, third person pronoun. Instrumental, plural, masculine. Am I boring you with this grammar? Are you understanding it a little better? Okay. Because I've been working, getting you up here to where you can answer these questions. And then he comes. He comes to Jesus. All right? The Jesus is ho Jesus there. Erkatai ho Jesus. And ho Jesus is what case? That definite article tells you straight out. What is it, Brother Randall? Ho. Nominative singular masculine. So the noun that's describing has to be the same thing. And then the Jesus, he comes, erketai. Now let's look and see how this is. Third person singular, present, indicative, middle voice. What does it tell you about him? Brother Roger, how would you say that in Hebrew? Tell me the mode in Hebrew.
Oh, volatative or
cohortive and juicy.
Juicy.
All right. Because he's doing this for himself of his own volition, isn't he? Okay? And he comes of his own volition to Jesus of the doors having been locked. Genitive plural, masculine, tone, theron, the doors, kekleismenon, kekleismenon. The word keys actually originates with this. The word keys. What do keys do?
Lock them.
Where did lock and keys were invented? Where was that? Nineveh. All right. Having been locked, genitive plural masculine, perfect participle passive. It was locked. The doors were locked by somebody else. Action is upon them. That's a passive voice. Having been locked, and a plain conjunction, and he stood. Now this is third person singular, secondaries, indicative, active. He stood. Ace, look at that. Ace, to, meson, in the middle. And he said, shalom. What did he say? He didn't say shalom, did he? What did he say, Brother Roger?
He said the Greek word.
He said the Greek word, which is irene. Ereni si phileamu. See, that means peace to you, my friend. And that's basically what this means. Ereni means peace. In Hebrew, it would be shalom, of course. Page 575, if you want to write that down. Look it up, what it says in Bullinger's. New Testament Concordance. Shalom, peace, absence of all fright. Now, the Master is with you. Don't be afraid anymore. I'm here. 2027. Eta. Lege. To. Soma. Fere. Ton. Doc. Tilon. Su. Hede. Hode, that is. Kai. Ide. Tas. Keras. Mu. Kai. Fere. Tain. Kera. Su. Kai. Bale. Ace. Tain. Pluron. Mu. Kai. Me. Ginu. Opistos. Ala. Pistos. When people are frightened and in shock, things don't quite work right. Did you know that? They don't quite work right. Your mind is scrambled. Okay? And we have a bunch of scrambled eggs for people here. There really are. Some of them are leading out a little more conscious of what's going on than others. Thomas is in shock. He just can't physically, mentally put all of this situation together. Then, we have a little adverb of time to begin with, eta. Then, he says, third person singular, person indicative active, comes from lego, and he says to the Thomas, who's talking? Jesus. And he says to the Thomas, what are the rules of interpretation of the Bible?
Who's speaking?
Who's he speaking to? And what's the subject? See, you do that and you will really, really lay out a lot of problems. You'll get past a lot of problems in the Bible. I've heard preachers preach so many times and take a verse completely out of context. That's not what it's talking about at all. Period. First of all, tell them what it says. If you want to chase a rabbit and use it for a topical sermon, you tell them, well, this is what it says, but I'm going to do this with it. Okay? Then you can preach them a psychological story or something. Something good that they might need, but not what the subject is about. Then he says to the Thomas, you bear, look at that, you bring, you carry. This comes from Pharaoh, all right? What does Pharaoh mean in Greek? What does it mean? It means to bear, to carry, or to hold up. What does it mean in Hebrew, Pharaoh? Pharaoh. Or Pharaoh.
The guy in the big house.
All right. You bear, you bring the doctylon, the index finger. That's what it's talking about, your index finger. Bring your index finger with you, Thomas. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to help your unbelief. Bring the finger of you here. Little old here, that's an adverb of place. Okay. Here. And you see. Second person singular, second aorist, imperative active. This is a command, isn't it? That's the imperative mode, which means a command. It comes from horao here, but it's in second aorist. And what does the second aorist mean? It's punctual reaction, but a little durative of time. The tos keros. Bring your finger and the hands of me, belonging to me. That's genitive case of possession. I want you to get this down now. And you bring the hand of you, the kera, the hand of you, and thrust forcefully into the side of me. Just thrust your hand in there. There was probably a big scar there, wasn't it? Where they stuck that sword. I don't understand all that. I don't want you to see his ribs inside, his heart pumping, or anything else with this at this situation. But there was a hole there, wasn't it? There was a scar. And you thrust forcefully. Second person singular, second aorist, imperative active. Ace, the extension, limitation, the thought of verbal action, that preposition there, page 119. The side of me, into my side. Into. Ace here literally means into and through, doesn't it? Stick your fingers through the holes in my hand and thrust your whole hand and arm into my side. Kai. Kai here could be translated even. Or it could be translated but, couldn't it? Well, even, but, yes, most affirmatively. Kai can even be used like the word amen. And not ye become. Look at that. Second person singular. Present, imperative, what voice? Middle voice. So what does that mean? Don't become faithless for yourself. Apistos. Apistos has an alpha on the front of it, which is a negative. Not believing is what it means. Not believing. Don't become not believing. I have the word faithless down there, but it literally means not believing. But, strong adversative conjunction, believing, full of faith, full of belief, full of understanding. Now, John the Baptist did not... Remember when John the Baptist was put in prison? And John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you really the Christ? Or should we look for somebody else? Have I done my job?" Why did he say that? John was about to die. He had a pretty good premonition that he was going to be killed. Who were trying to kill him, by the way? Herod's wife. All right? And who were the bunch that she could kind of pull the strings on? What were they called?
The dagger guys.
The Sicarii.
Sicarii.
The dagger, the assassins. So she could get him killed pretty easily. So Herod had put him in protective custody, but he's in there. He's pretty depressed in here, and he's doubting. And here's John the Baptist doubting. Are you the one, or should we look for somebody else? And why didn't he believe? Why? What was wrong? Why did he ask that question? Randall, do you know?
He was depressed.
Why did you think he asked that question, Roger?
Is it because he didn't fulfill his expectations?
He didn't fulfill all the scriptures that he thought he would. Okay? He thought that he was supposed to be the king on the throne and supposed to take over the Roman government and kick Herod off the throne because Herod was an imposter. Of the wrong people. Esau was not the promised. He was not the heir. He was Jacob. These are the sons of Israel, not the sons of Israel, or Esau. Okay? So he was doubting because he wasn't able to see far away. Now, Thomas is doubting here. What did Jesus tell the disciples to tell to John? You remember? Sharon?
Tell him that the blind can see.
That's the first important thing because that was something that was a messianic credential only. Nobody in the Old Testament ever healed the blind.
Blind can see, the lame walk.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, there was the first
one. And the kingdom of God is preached to the poor. The Jews weren't really very excited about the deficits of society. Because why didn't they like to preach to the poor? Why didn't the Jews want to preach to the poor? What kind of an idea did they have?
They were sinners, that's why they're poor.
They were sinners and destitute because they were bad guys. If you're a good guy, you're rich. If you're a bad guy, you're going to be poor. Simple as that. All right? 2:28. Apocrite. Thomas. Kai Epain. auto ho kyrios, mu kai pothios mu. That's a short verse. Well, we had some long ones, haven't we? Apokrithē. Tell me about Apokrithē. Tell me. Conjugate that little rascal for me there, Brother Roger.
Third person singular, first aorist, passive indicative.
Okay, passive voice, indicative mode. Third person singular, that's he. First aorist, punctiliar, sharp, time, action. Indicative is a statement of fact. And what's a passive voice? Something caused him to do that, didn't they? Something caused him to do that. And Thomas, he was caused to catch up in speech. That's exactly what it says. It actually means that Thomas was caused to answer back a judgment, literally. Okay? Apokrinomai. Krinomai means we get a word critic from that, to criticize or to judge. When you're critiquing somebody, you're judging them. Okay? He was caused to catch up in speech, or to cause to give an answer back, to give a judgment back. And, conjunction, he said, third person singular, second aorist, indicative, active, to him. What's to him there now? Who can tell me what to him? Number, gender, case. To him.
Is it dative?
All right, brother. A plus for tonight. Dative. Singular. Masculine. Third person pronoun. Ho kyrios. Ho kyrios. Ho is the nominative singular masculine definite articles and the Lord kyrios. Tell me about kyrios. Tell me about how many different ways can you use kyrios. Tell me about kyrios. Roger? What would be equivalent in Hebrew of kyrios?
Adonai.
Two different ones. Yep, that's one, Adonai, and what's the other one?
Hadavar or Hashem.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, or Hadavar. But what would it be? What's the other word?
Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Yes.
That's right. So, from the Hebrew, you could translate this Adonai, which means Master, Lord, and King. You could pronounce. You could translate it the word Hadavar, or the word, which there is a figure of speech, which means the Jehovah. Or Hashem, which means the name, the unspeakable name, or Jehovah itself. Okay? Right here, he says Jehovah. If you wanted to translate this in Hebrew, it would be Ha Jehovah, the Jehovah of me. The Jehovah of me. Look at that. And Elohim. Ha Elohim. All right, the Jehovah. Now, this is coming. Now, if he would be speaking in Hebrew, this is what it would be. Okay? How about Hothios? Hothios. What is literally, what should it literally be if you translate it into Hebrew?
Elohim.
The Creator. All right? My Savior. Jehovah, the one who shall become, my creator of me. All right? My Lord, my Savior, my Jehovah, and my Elohim. Just take that one to the bank with the Jehovah Witnesses. Okay? Just take that one to the bank. And I'll tell you something. I don't want you to attack Jehovah Witnesses. Okay? Sometimes maybe it sounds like that. What I want you to do is witness to them. Because they do believe the Bible, don't they? Do they believe the Bible? Do they believe the Bible is inspired of God? And you know enough Greek? They don't. They say they do, but they don't. So take that thing which they say they know and prove to them that Jesus is the God of heaven, the Creator. I have led a few of them to the Lord. If they, usually they run. Remember one thing about false religion. False religion is guarded with demons. That's right. They're convinced by demons. They're guarded by demons. So when, for instance, Mormons. When you start talking and witnessing to Mormon, this is real hard to admit witness to Mormon because they have a really problem with who God is. That's really a big problem. But if you're witnessing to Mormon philosophy and Mormon teaching, is if you start feeling bad, run. If you start feeling convicted or uncomfortable, run, because it's the devil. Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll run too. But you might get one. You might be able to reach one. And if you reach one, you have snatched one out of the flames of hell. Rescued. We're all going that way one time, weren't we? All right? And they're religious. It's terrible to see a person religious and going to hell. Terrible. God could use him in his kingdom. So work on it. Kindly work on it. Be kind and work on it. Work on them with love. With love. They come to your door, don't they? Maybe. They don't come to mine. They X'd you out, huh? One time, a long time ago, I worked with a man I loved very dearly. He was Jehovah's Witness, one of the elders. Every Saturday he would go, and I'd work for him, and every Saturday he'd go out and witness him. And one day his son came home with another guy, and they just wanted to show off a little bit, picked on me a little bit. We don't believe in hell. What do you believe in hell? What do you believe in hell for? I said, well, the Bible teaches there's hell. I said, hell is not a comfortable thing to believe in. Okay? And all of this and stuff. And I said, but nobody has to go to hell. And I showed him in the Bible where it was. I was quoting things. I could quote the Bible really good then, better than now. But anyway, I quoted the Bible to him about hell because I had just written the lessons about hell. You know, that doctrine of hell. So I quoted that to him, but boy, they got real uncomfortable. Then I said, but you have a way out. And of course they started saying, well, being out here all day long, we're doing this, we're talking to you, we're hoping that we're trying to do what Jehovah wants us to do. We're Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, well, let me tell you about him too. Now I said, so I went to John 1 and 1 and I just showed it out to them. You know, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, what was toward the God, and all that kind of stuff. And I did that, and I took him into John 8:58, John 10, the 10th chapter, and I showed to this. And those guys were sitting there. These were like 18, 19-year-old boys. These were missionaries, just come from people's houses. Their tears were coming down their face. One of them walked out of the room. The other one says, Jim, I don't want to go to hell. I know there's a hell. Help me believe. So I began, and about that time, two more come in. And of course, when that happened, that was the end of that. That boy came so close. You don't think that the Holy Spirit can work with these people? The Holy Spirit was working with him right then. But the devil works too. Just pray when you see them that you can witness to them. They have souls. Souls worth saving. You just see them go to work. In the God's work, take him out of that. And he says to him, the Jesus, Lege auto ho Jesus. All right, Lege auto 2029, ho Jesus, hote irakas me petest tukas, makari oi, hoi me idotes, kai pisuon. And he says to him, to Jesus, because you have seen me. You have seen. Second person singular, perfect indicative active. You have seen it. It's a done thing now. You have seen me. You have what? Believed. Remember, this is the word a while ago. We looked at it. Here is second person singular, perfect indicative active from Pistuo. You have believed. Because you see me, you have believed. Now, what's at the end of that word? Pepistuakos. What's at the end of that? Right in the Greek part of it. What's following that? What's that thing called? What is that thing called? That thing right here. This is what I'm asking you. Huh? It's a little semicolon. Yeah, that's a semicolon. But what is it in Greek? It's a question mark in Greek. That equals a question mark in Greek. All right. Now, I have it translated down there, but maybe you didn't understand that. So we got it. See, you're getting stepping one step at a time up here to become Greek theologians and grammarians. Because you have seen me, you have believed? A question. Makarioi, blessed, happy, peaceful, the ones. Now, if we have hoi there, and we got me in between it, but hoi there is a nominative, plural, masculine, definite article, which describes nominative, plural, masculine, second aorist participle. See that? The ones having seen. The ones having seen and having believed. The ones not having seen and believed. Now, Sharon, you didn't see Jesus, did you? No, but did you believe? Cindy, you didn't see him literally, but you believe.
Not yet, but
yeah, you're going to see him. We know we're going to see him because the Bible promises that. We all look at this. I remember that when you saw Jesus there, young lady, Pamela. I remember the night you saw Jesus. Yeah. You believe now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're comfortable with it now.
Don't you think it's easier for us to believe than it would have been the people in the Old Testament to believe?
Because say that, Kinson.
Don't you think it's easier for us to believe than it would be people in the Old Testament before Jesus, because it kept being promised, being promised, being promised, being promised?
That's a beautiful, beautiful statement. Absolutely. I wish you was up here making that statement. It's easier for us to believe than the people in the Old Testament because the promise and promise and promise and promise and nothing ever happened. Just think about it for a minute. Adam had a promise in Genesis what? Genesis 3:15. How long did it take for that promise to be fulfilled? Matthew, the first chapter. Luke, the third chapter. That's how long it took that. About 4,000 years. 4,000 years before the Messiah was born. And all the Old Testament patriarchs, Abraham, did Abraham ever attain the promised land? Did he? Did he ever attain it? Did he ever have it in his hands? Udamiah. No. But what did he do? He told his son, which was what? Yitzchak. He told Yitzchak that God has promised, Jehovah has promised us a Savior, and He's promised us this whole land of Palestine. It is going to be ours one of these days. Now, Abraham never had it. Isaac didn't have it. But then Isaac, which was an ungodly buzzard, by the way, he was a saved man, but boy, was he always on the wrong track. It took a woman to turn him around, didn't it? All right. She had to straighten that mess out because he wanted to bless the wrong boy, didn't he? He wanted to bless Esau, which wasn't worthy of that promise. But these two boys knew the promise, didn't they? That the Messiah was coming and that they were going to hand it down and that they were going to have it. But did Jacob ever have all of the promised land? No. Jacob ended up in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, the land of red mud and canal banks. All right, that's what Mitzrayim means. And Egyptos, where do we get that word from? Egypt, our English word. From Greek, not from the Hebrew. Mitzrayim in Hebrew. So he ended up down there, but he told them what? All the time these promises were made. Cindy, that was a great, great statement. All the time these promises were made and they never attained it. Now they're down in Egypt. All right. Jacob's down each and he said, don't bury my bones here. Take them and bury them in the cave of Machpelah, which is the most wonderful place I've ever been. That's the place, boy. That's where all of those patriarch bones are. They're in Hebron. So they took him up there. So Joseph's dying. Joseph's dying. He said, don't bury my bones in Egypt. Put me in a coffin and take me home. You know that every one of the patriarchs, according to the book of Jasher, all had their bodies mummified and put in coffins. And when they went into the promised land, the book of Jasher says, they carried their bodies and buried them in the land that tribe would have. Because they believed, but they never saw the fact. They never saw the fact. Never did. And they wandered around out there 40 years, didn't they, in the wilderness carrying these coffins. All of them. believing but unbelieving too. They believed because their fathers did, but all of them died except for two, Joshua and Caleb. All right. And they went into the land because they believed. Billy Graham said one time, he said, there's 70% of people in Southern Baptist churches that aren't saved yet. They haven't ever believed. They just go there because it's a nice place to go. And that might be true. So we need to evangelize each other. Because we haven't seen all the Old Testament. Now, all those lambs, John says, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Some of them didn't want to believe that because they had a religion they were comfortable in, didn't they? They want change. Some of them did. Some of them believed. All right, some believed. Some, they all stuck their necks out, didn't they? Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus could have been killed for what they did going and getting the body of Jesus. Here's the final result of it. Here he raised. He was buried in a tomb, but he was raised. And they didn't understand that either, did they? But Jesus told them, I will give you no sign except what? The sign of Jonah. In the belly of whatever it was for 3 days and three nights. 20:30. The purpose of the book. Pola, Man-un, Kai-Ala, Samia, Epoison, Ho-Esus, Enopion, Tone, Mathetone, and this altone is in brackets, so it's added later. Okay, but it's what we call a practical substantive, but somebody put it in the text. Ha, uk, esten, gegramina, ento biblio, tuto. Indeed, now we have a little particle of affirmation there, indeed. That's, you could use the word amen there if you want to, because it means the same thing. Amen, many, therefore, and other signs. Allah, Samuel. What's the word Samuel? What's that mean, Roger? Ain't Samuel. What is a Samuel, Pamela? Sign. What is this? A miracle. Miracle. Something that could not be happen in the physical world. Cindy, you taught some physical science, haven't you? Physical science. According to physical science, certain things happen. What's happened here is breaking the rules of physical science, isn't it? So this is evidence. I preached a couple of messages here a while back on the external, extra-biblical revelations of Jesus' life, birth, death, ministry, burial, resurrection, all of this. From the Bible. There is more evidence in history about Jesus, contemporary history, than we have in the Bible. Do you know that? A lot of it. Other signs, Samuel, miracles. Fantastic, unexplainable things. He performed. Now that comes from the word poio. And it's third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. Okay, now what does our word in English come from this word? What English word is it? Poem? 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 You poem, you take poem and you make words rhyme. You know the book of the Quran. The Quran is a lot of poetry in it. A lot of poetry. Lots of poetry. Do you know that anything happened to those Arabs back in those days during that period of time and 1,000 years before they wrote a poem about it? I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of verses in Arabic. I went to town today and I got a Christmas tree. I mean, they didn't do that, but I got some camel's yogurt. And it tasted so good, and it was my sister that gave it to me. And they'd go on like this, and they sang this, going on and on and on and on. They sang it over and over and over again. A language full of poetry. All right? Poems. All right? He performed the Jesus. Now, the Jesus there, Ho Jesus, what is that, Sharon? Ho.
Well, that's the definite article.
Okay. Nominative, singular, masculine, definite article. Anytime you see ho there, you know what case it's in. The case of the subject. Nominative. the Jesus. Enopion means literally right down in front of their eyes. Enopion. In front of the mathetes, the habitual learners of him. Now, this word of him there, it just explains it. It's not really there. It's not going to do it any violence by putting that word there, but it's not there. The in front of the disciples. Okay, you can leave it out too, can't you? The disciples belong to him. Ha, which is? That's a little relative pronoun, and it's plural. Which is not, it is, having been written. Into biblio. Into biblio. What's biblio? Biblio. You know what biblio means? Brother Roger, you ought to know this.
It means book?
No.
Or library?
No. What does biblio mean? Cindy, you remember what biblio means?
It's the writings, isn't it?
Uh-huh. What is biblio, Sharon? Come on, let's get this biblio together. What is a biblio? What?
Scroll?
It means a scroll. You got it.
I'm reading your notes.
Oh, all right. I have my hand on my notes. It means scroll because there weren't codexes yet. It wasn't. We get the word book, but really that's not a good translation. It means scroll because books hadn't been invented yet. We get a word book from biblios, but it's a misnomer. It's book should be codex. A codex is a bound thing. The Codex Vaticanus, Alexandrius, Sinaiticus, all of those are books that were bound. And the Jews kept on writing things on scrolls because they wanted to be different Christians. And the Christians wanted to be different than the Jews instead of rolling this thing out, which is a lot of trouble. They could open up to a certain page. That page would have that verse on it. That's a lot more sense, see, than rolling that scroll out there. All right. Having been written in the scroll, this was written in a scroll form, not in a book. Originally, it was written in a scroll. 2031 now. Tauta, de, gegrapte, hina, pisuete, ho, esus, esten, ho Christos, ho huios, tu theou, kai hina pisiontes, zoein, ekete, ento onomate autu. But, this is a weak adversative conjunctive particle, that word de there. Now you have to use that first. In English, you have to go to the second word in English because it won't make any sense. Tauta de, you would say but. And this is not a strong adversative conjunction. This means moreover. You could put the word moreover there. Moreover, these things having been written. Third person singular, perfect indicative passive, having been written. In order that ye might believe. Look at that. What does this ye might believe? What is it always in the subjunctive? Why is it always in subjunctive, Randall? Maybe, maybe not, which implies what? That God's creatures have volition. They have sovereignty over their destiny, don't they? Man was created in his God's shadow-casting likeness, Genesis 1:26, in his blood-flowing likeness, and in his what? Sovereign likeness. Now, your super-lapsarians won't like that, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I believe in election. I believe in foreordination. I believe in all of those things. But there's volition involved also. That's what you call modified Calvinism. Or modified sublapsarian. Or moderate. Ye might believe that Jesus, he is ho Christos. He is the Messiah. Here, if it said it in Hebrew, what it would be? Roger? HaMashiach.
HaMashiach.
Yeah, HaMashiach. All right. Ho huios, the Son belonging to the God. Now the Muslim world, they believe in Jesus. They believe in Jesus who was virgin born, don't they? All right. Do they believe that Jesus is the Son of God? They will have a wall-eyed calypso. They said, let the mountains fall on us before we believe that. Terrible that that Allah would have a consort, that he would have a son. That is the whole, what we call the blasphemous look at God. God so loved the world that he became flesh and sent his only begotten wheels, heir, not just son, heir. This is going to be the real ruler. Adonai Ha'adonaiim in Revelation, the 9th chapter, which goes all the way back to Deuteronomy. Here we have the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is the one. This is the heir of the universe. The heir of the universe. The son belonging to God. The heir belonging to God. And you can put down amen there if you want to. Because this here absolutely means that. Because in order that, believing, look at that. Nominative, plural, masculine, present, participle, believing. Zoane, what does Zoane mean? What word in English do we get out of here? Zoo. Zoo is a place where you go look at living animals. Museum where you go look at dead things a lot of times. Zoo, you go look at living things. Zoology is the study of living things. We get it right out of the Greek. That ye may have, look at that now again, life, what is this now? Conjugate that word ekate there, Brother Roger. Are you a modified subleptarian? I want to know. Let's see how you translate this out. Okay. Let the Greek translate it. Now, don't you let your theology do it.
Okay. Second person, plural, present, active, subjunctive.
All right. Subjunctive mode, which means what?
Could,
there.
Might not.
Might or might not. Who does that depend on? Your sovereign volition. In the name, in to onomate. What's the word name there mean? Authority, name. A name. That's your name by legal right, because Jesus is the heir and the Adonai Ha'adonim of the whole universe. He has the right to set the rules as he sets forth the rules of his kingdom. And the authority, the name belonging to him. Next week we'll start in chapter 21, which is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. We started with verse, was it 23 tonight? What verse did we start with? 13? 23. Okay. 2023 through 2031. And we'll go there all the way to the 21st chapter. We're almost through with this book, aren't we? All right. And I'll try to get some next texts for you in the next few weeks, hopefully. All right. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. All right. Well, I hope you learned something from God's Word tonight. Do you have any questions? Who the Mia? Yes.
A friend of mine asked me, in the Paleo-Hebrew, does the figures that they use for letters mean the same thing that we interpret, like Aleph is the head,
Aleph
and
the head.
House, and
Beth is house.
Beth is house.
If you look it up, I think you will find the same thing in Paleo-Hebrew. That's where it began.
Okay. You know, so, where would they look for some justification or a source or?
Me? No. That's what it is. What I brought to you was what. See, all the Hebrew letters stood for something at one time. Mm-hmm. So the Greek letters. All of these letters stood for something. And then we forgot what they stood for. Okay? So we just go back and all of his head. The Tau was what?
Cross.
The cross. All right? And the cross used to be like that. Okay? All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your word. We pray that you nail it in our hearts.
and in our minds, we ask you to glorify you with our lives. We are humble servants, all imperfect, and we ask you to correct us when we go out of the way, out of the path, spank us up straight, keep us going, and help us to do what you want with our lives, because our lives are not ours, they're yours. Help us to remember that every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.